Hi, and welcome to Church Acadiana's podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, we invite you to check out Church Acadiana live this Sunday in Broussard, Louisiana. Visit churchacadiana.com for service times, directions, and more about the ministry of Church Acadiana.
Easter is a very important Sunday for Christians all over the world. In fact, really every Sunday morning is Easter Sunday for Christians. Really every day is Easter for Christians. We are always celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is so important, so essential to our religion, to our faith. Because if Jesus really did rise from the grave, which is what we believe as Christians, then that means that he's not another, you know, David Koresh. He's not just another wacko who claimed to be God. He's not just a moral teacher. He's not just a good man, not just a weird miracle worker. If Jesus really did rise from the grave, just as he predicted on numerous occasions, and as many hundreds of eyewitnesses saw firsthand, well, that means we got to take this guy seriously. He is who he says he is. Jesus is the Christ. Everything in our faith rests on the resurrection. And so we celebrate that this morning. We celebrate that Jesus is the risen Savior, the crucified one, but also the risen Savior. And because he rose from the grave, we can trust in him and trust that we can have life in his name. So today's a very important Sunday. Today, I want to ask you what may be the most important question that anybody has ever asked you in your entire life. And it's going to be the most important question that anybody ever will ask you. But before we get to that question, we need to do a little bit of setup. I want to ask you another question, and this question is like heavy. All right, are you ready for a heavy question right at the beginning of the sermon? There's no funny joke to get things started this morning. We're just going to break the ice with a sledgehammer this morning. The question is this: did you know that it's possible to believe in Jesus but go to hell? It's possible to believe in Jesus but go to hell. Now, that may be shocking to some people because the Bible is filled with scriptures. First of all, let me just say this. I realize that some of you in here may not be sure that you believe in Jesus. And second of all, you may not be sure that you believe in heaven or hell. I understand that. And that's okay. I'm glad you're here. But just stick with me for the duration of the sermon, because after hearing this message, you're going to understand the essence of the Christian message. Okay? So anyway, it's possible to believe in Jesus and yet not go to heaven. And that's shocking because the Bible is filled with verses like John 3:16. Now, I don't have that in your worship guide, and I don't have that up on the screen because I figured a lot of you already know that verse, right? John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son so that whoever what? Whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life or everlasting life. And the Bible is filled with verses like that. If you want to go to heaven, you've got to believe in Jesus. So how can you say, Andy, that it's possible to believe in Jesus but still go to hell? Now that we looked at John 3:16, let me show you a couple of other verses that are kind of shocking. The first one is in the book of James. By the way, we're going to be in Ephesians. If you have a Bible, we're going to spend most of our time this morning in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. So I'm going to go ahead and turn there myself right now to get ready. Ephesians chapter 2. And I'll tell you exactly where as we go along. All right, the first verse that I wanted to show you is in James. Interesting story, just as a side note, James is the brother, like the real life brother of Jesus Christ. He wrote the book of James in the Bible, the epistle of James, the letter of James. James was not a believer while his brother Jesus was alive, or before he died on the cross. James was a skeptic. But then, think about it. What would it take for you to believe that your brother is God? All right, so James naturally didn't think that his brother was God until James himself saw the risen Christ with his own eyes. Then James became a leader, the pastor of the Jerusalem church as Christianity was just getting started. James became one of the first leaders. He was convinced because of the resurrection. Look what James says. James chapter 2, verse 19. He says, "You say you have faith, for you believe that there is only one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror." Now pause just for a moment. Have you ever thought about that, that the devil believes in Jesus? Doesn't the devil believe in Jesus? And demons, they believe in Jesus. Think about it. The devil believes that Jesus is the Messiah. He knows he is. The devil believes that Jesus is real. The devil believes that Jesus rose from the grave. The devil believes that Jesus is the second person in the Trinity. The devil believes that Jesus is God. The devil believes all this stuff. All the demons do, which are fallen angels. They believe this stuff. They're not going to heaven, are they? So it's possible, what James is saying here, to believe but not go to heaven. Let me show you another passage that's a little more scary. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. This is at the very end of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus' most famous sermon is in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And not next week, but the next, our church is launching into an in-depth verse-by-verse study through the Sermon on the Mount, which is the core teachings of Jesus. It's going to be a fun, the best study we've ever done as a church. I'm looking forward to it. Look what Jesus says at the end of that sermon. He says, "Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day," okay, so there is going to be a judgment day according to Jesus. "On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws." This is a case of people who believed in Jesus. Not only that, but these people are super spiritual. These people, they prophesied in Jesus. I've never prophesied. They cast out demons. I've never done that in Jesus' name. And they performed miracles in the name of Jesus, and they called Jesus Lord. These people believed in Jesus, but they're not going to heaven, Jesus says. So how is that possible? Well, we started Church Acadiana about 7 years ago, and I've been in Acadiana my whole life except for the 3 years that I was in Texas for seminary. And so I know Acadians pretty well, people from this area. And as I look at Acadiana, I see lots of people who fit into that category. Lots of people who believe in Jesus. Just about everybody in Acadiana believes in Jesus. Anybody notice that? Everybody believes in Jesus. And Acadiana is filled with really good people. I mean, good people, salt of the earth kinds of people, really good religious people, never miss church. But as I look around, and as I've looked around for years, I see lots of people who believe in Jesus but are not going to heaven. And you say, "Andy, how can you say that? That's a very judgmental thing to say." I realize that only God can read a person's heart. Only God knows a person's heart truly. I can't look inside of you and see the reality, the authenticity of your relationship with God. I can't see that. But there is a question that we can ask, that you can ask, that can help you discern almost without fail whether you're heaven-bound or hell-bound. That's why I call it the most important question that you will ever hear. This one question, your answer to this question will help you know whether or not you're going to heaven or hell. But it's okay if you find out you got the wrong answer to the question, because I can teach you the right answer this morning and you can change your answer. It's okay. All right, it's like the teacher, she takes up the papers after the test, and she gives you an F, and then she says, "It's okay, here, take it again, now you know the right answers, take it now knowing the answers." That's what we're going to do this morning, okay? Now, before I'm ready to give you, and before you're ready to hear the most important question, and before you're ready to answer the most important question, we've got to look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9, the reason why so many people believe in Jesus, but they're not going to heaven is because they misunderstand salvation biblically. And they misunderstand the way to salvation. And they misunderstand saving faith. They misunderstand what the Bible means when it says you got to believe in Jesus. They don't understand what that means. So Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 9 is going to help us with that. This is one of my favorite passages. We read it all the time. I memorized it as a 9-year-old. And here I am still preaching it. Verse 8. It says, God saved you by His what? By His grace. If you have a pen or a pencil, underline or circle that word. God saved you by His grace when you what? You say, "I don't know. I'm still circling the word grace." God saved you by His grace when you what? Believed. When you believed. Okay, that's another one to underline, the word believed. Let me give you a moment. So one of you's got a pen that doesn't write. You're like, "Doggone it." And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. Circle or underline good things. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. Underline or circle the word boast. There are four words that you need to understand in order to grasp salvation biblically and how to be saved, the way to salvation, what it really means to believe in Jesus. And those are the four words, okay? The first word is this, if you're taking notes, keeping score, is grace. Grace. You got to understand what grace means from a biblical perspective if you want to understand how to get to heaven. It says God saved you by his what? God saved you by his grace. Huge, important, biblical word, biblical concept. God saved you by his grace. What is grace? Here's a helpful acronym. If you've been in church a while, you've heard this before. I didn't make it up. It spells out the word grace, G-R-A-C-E. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. What are God's riches? That's, we're talking about salvation. Being born again, being forgiven of all your sins, and being given the gift of eternal life. God's riches given to you at Christ's expense. In other words, you didn't earn it, you didn't pay for it, you can't buy it. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense, not yours. That's what grace is. In other words, grace is unmerited favor. It's the unmerited favor. It's God giving you what you don't deserve. Grace is so important to understand. Salvation is not something that you can earn. Salvation is not something that you can buy. It's not something that you can work for. And this is the reason why so many people in Acadiana misunderstand salvation. It's because some people think that the way you get salvation is by earning it, by being good enough and doing enough religious things. If I'm just religious enough, I can just be good enough, then I can earn salvation. But if you could earn salvation, it wouldn't be a free gift. It wouldn't be by grace. A lot of people, surprisingly, think that they deserve salvation. They think, well, I know I'm not perfect, but don't tell me that I'm so bad that I actually deserve hell. I mean, I'm not that bad, but I'm not, you know, hell is for Osama bin Laden and Hitler and people like that. But unless you really like those people, whatever is going on in your mind. But surely not me. I mean, I'm not perfect, but I deserve better than hell. Maybe a few years in purgatory, if you believe that place exists. I don't, but definitely not hell. Some people actually believe they deserve better than hell. But if you deserved heaven, then you wouldn't need grace. It wouldn't be a work of grace. Grace means that salvation is a totally free gift, God's riches at Christ's expense. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. You can't buy it. Free gift, right? Second word, number two, is the word believed. The word believed. When you look at the word believe as it relates to salvation, you can think faith or trust. Believe, faith, trust, synonyms for the same concept. It says God saved you by his grace when you believe. By grace through believing. By grace through faith. This is the classic doctrine of salvation by grace through faith, or justification by grace through faith, the core central doctrine of the Christian message. God saved you by his grace when you believe. Now, what does it mean to believe? Biblical belief. Because a lot of people believe in Jesus, but they're not going to heaven because they misunderstand biblical belief. What does it mean to believe in Jesus? Here's the definition for you. To believe in Jesus is to depend on his sacrifice on the cross for your salvation. To believe in Jesus is to depend on his sacrifice on the cross for your salvation. See, the reason why many people misunderstand salvation is because they think that believing in Jesus means believing things about Jesus. Do you believe in Jesus? Sure. I believe Jesus is real. He was born of a virgin from Nazareth, born in Bethlehem. I believe Jesus, his mom and dad were Joseph and Mary. I believe that Jesus is God. I believe that Jesus rose from the grave, died on the cross. Jesus, I believe Jesus is awesome. Jesus is God. Yes, I believe in Jesus. Of course I believe in Jesus. But believing in Jesus is not the same as believing things about Jesus. Yes, you need to believe things about Jesus, but biblical belief and saving belief, the kind of belief in Jesus that saves you, is depending on Jesus and his death on the cross for your salvation. Depending on, relying on, trusting in. Here's the gospel. The word gospel means good news. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? The gospel is this, and don't miss this, because if you're a Christian, you need to know this that easily, that quickly, so you can share it with everybody you know. The gospel is this, that God created you for a love relationship with himself. He created you to enjoy him, and to know Him and to serve Him and to worship Him. That's why you were created. But ever since Adam and Eve, our parents, we've all been in sin. We all sinned. We've all chosen to go our own way instead of God's way. That's called sin. And sin puts up this barrier, this wall between us and God. Sin separates us from God. We cannot have this relationship with God that we were created for. We are in sin. And the ultimate punishment for sin is eternity separated from God. That's what hell is. Eternity separated from God. That's what the Bible says you deserve. That's the just penalty. But even though we were rebellious, even though we walked away from God, God never stopped loving us the same amount. He loves you. He's crazier about you than you're crazy about yourself. He loves you like crazy. Never stopped in the midst of your rebellion against Him. And that's why He sent His only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for your sins. In other words, He died as your substitute. You deserved a spanking, is what I tell my little kids all the time. You deserved a spanking. Jesus took that spanking for you so you don't have to get a spanking. You deserve to be punished because of your sins. That's what the Bible says. But Jesus was punished instead of you, in your place, on your behalf. And now the Bible says, if you will trust in, believe in what Jesus has done, rely upon, depend on what He's done for you on the cross, that'll be credited to your account. That God will save you, forgive you, give you eternal life. It's all about depending on what He did for you. Okay? So, if you're saved by grace through faith, what's the connection between grace and faith, or grace and believing? What's the connection there between grace and believing? I think a financial analogy will help you understand. Grace is a free gift, right? So grace is God writing you a check for $1 million. You didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it. In fact, you deserve the opposite. You stole from God, but still, He's writing you this free check, $1 million, and He's going to give it to you. That's grace. It's yours. However, you can't take a $1 million check to Academy and do anything with it. You can't take a $1 million check to Walmart and do anything with it. For that check to mean anything, you've got to go and deposit it into your bank account. Then that check is yours, right? Grace is God writing you that free check and saying, here, it's yours if you want it. Faith is taking that check and depositing it into your account. See, God sent Christ to die for everybody in the whole world. That free gift of salvation and forgiveness of your sins, eternal life, is available to everybody in the whole world. But only those who will depend on Christ's sacrifice for their sins will receive the gift of eternal life. Will the gift of eternal life be credited to their account? Only those who say, Jesus, I want what You did on the cross to count on my behalf. That's the connection between grace and faith. So we got grace, we got believed. What's the third word? The third phrase is good things. You've got to understand good things or good works or good deeds if you want to understand salvation. Where do good deeds fit in? Where do good works fit in? Where does righteousness, holiness, obedience, where does that fit in? If salvation is a free gift. It says in verse 9 of Ephesians 2, it says, salvation is not a reward for the good things that we have done. Salvation is not a reward for the good things or the good works that we've done. Man, for everybody in this room, that ought to be wonderful news. Wow. Because I don't know about you, but I've done a lot more bad than I have good. Salvation is not a reward for the good things that we've done. What are good things? Good things are works of love and obedience. It could be anything from obeying a command in the Bible to giving money to somebody in need. You know, a good work, a good deed, being good, obeying the Bible. Now, the Bible says that good things or good deeds or good works or being good, righteousness, holiness, obedience, those things are very important. Good things are very important in the Bible. In fact, it's so stressed in the Bible that we need to be good as Christians that a lot of people in Acadiana, they make the wrong assumption or the wrong connection that if the Bible emphasizes good deeds so much, if the Bible says so much that I need to be obedient, if the Bible says so much that I need to be holy, then that must be how I get to heaven. By being good, by following the rules, by obeying God, by being a good person like Jesus was. If the Bible says to be obedient so much and to be righteous and to be holy and to be good and charitable, then that must be what I need to do to get to heaven. But we just read in Ephesians 2:9 that salvation is not a reward for the good things that we've done. So, what is the connection between grace and faith? This is very important for you to understand the Christian life. We are not saved by good deeds, but we are saved to do good deeds. Does that make sense? We're not saved by doing good deeds. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it because of how many good deeds we've done. But when we get saved, when we put our faith and trust in Jesus, when we depend on his sacrifice on our behalf, at that moment, Jesus comes into our hearts. He saves us. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit of God comes to live within you, and he gives you new desires and a new power to where now you actually want to and have the ability to do good. Now, as Christians, we do good not to earn God's favor, not to earn God's approval, not to earn our way to heaven, but now as Christians, we do good because we love God out of thankfulness to God, to glorify, to serve God. We don't do good because we're afraid that if we don't do good, God's going to smack us and send us to hell. No, no, no. We do good now because God saved us and loved us so freely. And we want to glorify him and we want to serve him. Titus 2, 11 through 12 in the Bible makes this very clear. Notice the connection here between grace. Notice how grace comes first and then good deeds come after that. It says, "For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people." In verse 12, "And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God." So first it says we're saved by grace. And then, now as Christians, we're instructed to turn from godless living and live a life devoted to God. All right, let's look at one more word, the word boasting. The word boasting or boast. It says in verse 9, "Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can" what? None of us can boast about it. What does it mean to boast in this context? Boasting is to take some or all of the credit for your salvation. To boast is to take some or all of the credit for your salvation. It's to believe that God is one day going to look at you and he's going to say, "I'm going to pick on my friend Henry. Look at Henry. Look at how righteous he is. Look at how religious Henry is. He never misses church. He's always here, serves. He stays after church to help take down equipment. And that Henry, you know what? You're in. Salvation granted. I am so impressed with you, Henry." Well, Henry knows that's not true, that God wouldn't do that with any of us. But that's what it means to boast. It's to take some or all the credit for your salvation. It's to think that you had anything to do with your salvation. But the Bible says that the way God has orchestrated it, that God gets all the glory from start to finish for our salvation so that we can't take any credit because it has nothing to do with you and me. The only thing we can do is believe, is trust, is depend, is rely upon the salvation of Jesus Christ. And then God gets to do all the boasting. He gets all the credit. He gets all the glory. If you're ever tempted to boast and to think that you have anything to do with your salvation, notice Galatians 3, 10 through 11. It says, "But those who depend on the law," that means obeying the law, being good, "but those who depend," notice that word, "depend on the law to make them right with God are under his curse. For the scriptures say, 'Cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all the commands that are written in God's book of the law.' So it is clear that no one can be made right with God by trying to keep the law, for the scriptures say it is through faith that a righteous person has life." This verse says, if you're trying to get to heaven by being a good person, you're under God's curse because there's no such thing. There's no such thing. Because what you would have to do is you would have to keep every law perfectly without fail. And that's why if you're depending on the law and being good, on good works to get to heaven, you're under a curse. You're in a bad place. I heard it put like this one time. Heaven is a perfect place, and only perfect people go there. Actually, two kind of people go to heaven. Perfect people and forgiven people. Now, if you're willing to admit you're not perfect, then you better forget about the perfection plan, the performance plan, the trying to get to heaven on my good deeds plan. And you better start trying to figure out, okay, so what's the forgiveness plan? Because that's the one I need. I'm certainly not getting to heaven by being perfect. So what's the forgiveness plan? So when you put together grace, belief, good things, boasting, here's what you learn about salvation. Here, you can fill in the blank there. It says salvation, I wrote this down, I wanted to read it so I get it right. Salvation is freely given To those who depend on what Christ Jesus has done for them and put no hope in what they might do for God. Now you can understand salvation. Salvation is freely given. It's a gift freely given to those who depend on what Jesus Christ has done for them and put no hope in what they might do for God. Now, let me explain this in two ways. Salvation is the difference between do versus done. Some of you have heard me tell this over and over again. This is a great way to explain the gospel to your friends. Religion is all about depending on what I can do for God to get me into heaven. It's all about depending, trusting, and how good I can be, how much I can do for God to get me into heaven. Biblical Christianity says you can never do enough, because if you got what you deserved, it would be hell. So the biblical Christianity is not about do, it's about trusting in what Christ has done on your behalf. It's about do versus done. It's not about what you can do, it's about what trusting in what Christ has done for you. Here's another way to look at it. I wanted to use this chair as an analogy. Now listen, I don't know if you can also, if you can't see the chair, imagine a black chair right here. All right. Now, saving faith, biblical faith. I want to give you an analogy. Believing that this chair exists is not the same as saving faith. Admiring this chair and saying, wow, chair, you are awesome. This is a great chair. That's not saving faith. Studying the chair and learning about its composition and its history, that's not saving faith. Worshiping this chair and singing praise songs to this chair, that's not saving faith. Only when I actually sit down in this chair and depend or rely upon this chair to hold me up, that's saving faith. And there's so many Christians, I should say there's so many people who think they're Christians, and they believe that that Jesus exists, and they study Jesus, and they sing worship songs to Jesus, and they pray to Jesus, but they're not relying or depending on His work for the forgiveness of their sins. They believe in Jesus, but they're not trusting in Jesus as their ticket to heaven. So, this is how Paul put it in a different passage, right before we get to the most important question. Look at this one more verse. Philippians 3:3. Paul says, this is such a good verse. It says, we rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. That's what it means to believe, to have faith, biblical saving faith. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort. That's biblical saving faith. That's salvation. So, now that you understand salvation, I want to ask you the most important question that you'll ever hear, and I want you to take a moment and answer it. If in your mind, or if you have a pencil, write down the answer briefly. Write down your answer to this, because it is so important. This is the most important question you'll ever hear. If you died today, why would God allow you into heaven? If you died today, why would God allow you into heaven? Now go ahead and write down your answer. Think about what your answer would be to that question. If you and I were sitting down at Starbucks over coffee, we were conversing, and I asked you that question, what would your answer be? If you died today, why would God allow you into heaven? Now, the reason why that's the most important question you'll ever hear is because what it does is it reveals the object of your faith. And you're either trusting in Jesus and His work on your behalf, or you're trusting in yourself, your good deeds, your ability to be good enough. And that question reveals the object of your faith. There's two ways you can answer that question. Here's the first way, and here's the wrong way. Why would God allow you into heaven? Well, because I'm a good person, and I've tried so hard to be a Christian and to follow the way of Jesus. I'm not perfect, but man, I've really tried to be involved in the church and try to tell as many people as I can about Jesus, and I've just been really involved, and just love Jesus. All those answers just revealed that your trust is in yourself. Your ability to follow Jesus, your ability to be good enough, your ability to be religious enough, your ability to follow the rules. Some of you are really good at following rules, but not good enough, because you got to be perfect. Here's the right way to answer that question. Why would God allow you into heaven? Because Jesus died for my sins, and I'm trusting in what He did for me. He paid for my sins. He took the penalty for my sins. He's my ticket to heaven. He died and he rose again. Jesus died for me, and I asked him, be my Savior. I want what you did on the cross to count for me. What those answers reveal, if that's what your answer was like, is that your trust is not in yourself, it's not in good deeds, it's in Jesus. So, if you died today, why would God allow you into heaven? Now, what if you realize that, whoops, my answer was not the right answer? What do you do then? Well, you do exactly what Paul said to do in Philippians 2:3. First thing you do is you decide from this day forward that you're going to rely on what Christ Jesus has done for you. You're going to rely upon the cross. He died for your sins in your place because you deserve to be punished, but he loved you too much, and so he died instead of you, for you. So rely on what Jesus has done for you. The second thing is you put no confidence in human effort. You decide from this day forward, you know what? If it weren't for Jesus, if it were left up to me and what I deserve, it would be an eternity separated from God. Put no confidence in human effort. Rely on what Jesus Christ has done for you. Now, if today you realize that your answer was not right, that you weren't sure about the right answer, if today maybe you realize, I don't know for sure if I'm saved. I don't know for sure if I'm heaven bound. I don't know if Jesus has really come in my heart. I don't know if ever before today I've ever really understood the gospel, saving faith. What does it really mean to be saved and how to be saved through Jesus? I don't know if I ever really heard it before like that. So I don't know if I've ever really truly been saved. And if that's you, you're in the right place, because what I want to do right now is I want to give you an opportunity, not to embarrass you, but just simply to let you invite Jesus into your heart. And to say, Lord Jesus, from this day forward, I'm relying upon what you did on the cross for me. And I want you to come and be my Savior from this day forward. I'm not going to rely upon myself anymore. It's not about me or how good I can be. I want you to come and save me based on what you've done for me. And if you'd like to do that right now, you're not sure about your eternal destination, now's the moment. Why don't you bow your heads and close your eyes as we come to a close now. I want to give you an opportunity right now, if everybody would be still and silent. This is a very important moment. And if you don't know for sure that you're going to heaven, if you don't know for sure that you've ever really understood salvation, then you can pray a prayer like this in your heart. Just pray it silently. And right now, you're going to invite Jesus in your heart. You say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I want to turn from my sins and follow you. I believe that you died for my sins and rose again, and I accept you as my Savior. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. Give me new life. Help me to follow you from this day forward. Amen. Just with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, why don't you take just a moment and you pray that prayer in your own words, in your own heart. And you say, Jesus, I understand now what it means to be saved. Would you come and save me? I trust in you and what you've done. I depend, I rely upon your cross and resurrection on my behalf. I want it to count for me. Come and save me right now. You can do that right now in the quiet of your own heart, in your own words. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I would like to know who made that decision. So I'm not going to embarrass you. But as a pastor, I want to know how I can pray for you. I want to know where you are with God. And I want you also to physically acknowledge that you just made the most important decision in your life. So with nobody looking around, when I count to three, if you just made that decision, if you just said, Jesus, I didn't understand before, but now I want you to come and save me once and for all. I want to count on what, rely upon, depend upon your sacrifice on my behalf from this day forward. If that's you, when I count to three, then I just want you to slip your hand up with nobody looking around so I can pray for you. One, two, three. Amen. All over the room. God bless you. Amen. 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 Anybody else? God bless you. See you in the back. Amen. You can put your hand down. God bless you. Anybody else? If you didn't raise your hand, you just said, Lord Jesus, come and save me. I'm depending on what you did for me from this day forward. Come and save me, Jesus. If you just prayed that for the first time, amen. God bless you. Anybody else? This is your moment, Easter Sunday 2013, the moment that you begin new life in Jesus Christ. Anybody else? Nobody looking around. Rich, raise your hand high. Amen. Heavenly Father, we're so excited about the gospel and that it's not about us. It's all about you. You did all that needs to be done. We don't have to be good to get to heaven. And thankfully, we're not good, so we're so thankful that we don't have to be perfect. But you were perfect. It's not about our good deeds. It's about your good deed on our behalf, and we just thank you for that. Lord Jesus, I pray for all those in this room who just prayed the prayer of salvation and just invited you to save them, to be their Savior. I ask that you would, Lord, move powerfully in their lives. Help them to plug into the church. Help them begin to grow strong as a young Christian. Help them to learn more about the truth of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.